Coming up on today's show, we do some news, talk a little bit about the park from the other side of I-4. That's coming up today on Traveling with a Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 493. We are rapidly approaching. I don't know if rapidly is really the right word, but we are approaching episode number 500 still. So this is going to, it's going to be, let's see, at this point, it's going to be what, in July, I think?
Maybe.
So, maybe July. Maybe yeah. By the time school goes back, I don't know.
Summer. Yep. Either way.
Well, we got a few things to catch up on, I guess, here. We haven't really done too much news in the last couple of weeks, but I mean, we've hit the highlights, so to speak.
Yes. We've been doing brackets and battling transportation systems, so I guess now it's trying to get back to some of the news.
The usual stuff.
Yeah. I was thinking about doing a blog about the monorail, like how, because it lost the comparison that we did last week. I thought about writing a blog about what I think of the monorail.
Well,
maybe you can create one on the Skyliner.
What I think of it? I mean, I think we already know what that is. That's kind of,
I just meant like nostalgic memories and stuff, you know?
Let's see.
That's all. But plug for the merch that you can get. We put out Team Monorail, Team Skyliner merch on our TeePublic store, which is linked on our website.
Well, did you see that Virtual Q came back to Hollywood Studios? Did you hear about this?
No, for what?
Actually, it was very limited time. It was for the guests looking to purchase merchandise during May the 4th.
Oh, Star Wars Day. Makes sense.
Which will be over by the time you hear this. So I was saying it correctly. Yes. They used Virtual Q for merchandise for May the 4th.
Yeah.
So
I wonder have they released anything about what merch, like, is there some big reason for having to do a virtual queue? Is it like something awesome is dropping? Because I don't see
anything specific other than it says exciting mix of new and limited edition Star Wars themed items at the Stage One Company store. Right. So they're using the store that's the store that was the Muppets, was it not? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably why the store hasn't been open in a little while. They were preparing it for this. So
I mean, honestly, the only merch that I almost bought some of because it was the novelty of it was last year. I was there right at Life Day. It was an anniversary of Life Day. Was that last year?
The last one would have been probably the 45th, which would have been 2023, if there was a 45
maybe, one. Maybe that was the year. Anyway, I was there on Life Day, one of the years they dropped merch or whatever, and I almost bought like a Life Day. It looked like a Christmas sweater, essentially, but it had like Chewie and his family on it or something. I almost bought that. And I'm like, why would I get this? So I love Star Wars, but I'm not like, I don't know. I don't wear a lot of Star Wars merch. That makes sense.
That reminds me, I have forgotten this week to watch the
third or fourth.
They're doing three episodes at a time, I think, every time they do it. I think
How many episodes are going to be in this season? I thought they only do like 8 or 10, I think.
Here's the kicker. I think like every week is a year in this story. Right. So like we started with the first three and then we're advancing 1 year when we pick it up here, which is weird. I haven't watched it yet, which is weird because the way the first three episodes went, I was like, I don't feel like we went very far with anything. And yet we're going to advance a year, it's going to be hard to keep the continuity.
I only watched the first episode. You watched the first three already?
Yeah, I watched the first three.
I haven't watched the other two yet. Yeah, I'm planning to watch.
Andor is still, of the most recent Star Wars things, Andor is still the best written Star Wars story, really. It feels like an actual story you can get into. It's not.
And is it just because it essentially leads up to Rogue One, and Rogue One is arguably, well, I wouldn't even say arguably, it's the best Disney Star Wars movie that they've made.
Pretty much. It really was. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it paid tribute to the, you know, original, answered some plot holes or whatever you want to call them in the original Star Wars without making it feel like the original Star Wars, you know, it didn't make the original movie suffer because of it, if that makes sense, I guess. In my opinion, anyway.
Maybe.
And it wasn't like, it was, I saw a video of someone posting about Solo, that scene where Han doesn't have a name and they just go like, yeah. Oh, Han Solo, I'm here by myself. Oh, Solo.
Yeah.
It's like, that's, do we need that explanation of everything? Like, the explanation of the Death Star thing is actually pretty cool, but it's right. Like, we don't need everything answered, like, you know, an answer right. For everything that no one right. Thought about, you know.
And especially one like that that nobody really wanted, and actually they were like, this is dumb. Right.
And a dumb answer to a question nobody asks.
That's a dumb answer to a question nobody asks, and I don't know what people are thinking sometimes.
Right.
I feel like once upon a time, more of the writers and producers or whatever, at least, was open to outside criticism or sources. I just think they just do what they want to now, no matter what anyone says, what it seems like. So
I guess, yeah.
Like open to but input.
Yes. Andor was really good. I thought Ahsoka was pretty interesting show. I didn't watch as much of Clone Wars, but I kind of got, you know, a little bit of, it was still pretty cool. You know, of course, why am I?
Mandalorian?
Mandalorian, yes. Mandalorian is good.
Which was like, it was like their, one of their, if not the hit show whenever Disney Plus first released. And then they just kind of, they had a problem with, well, it's not that. They didn't drive it into the ground. They took too long in between seasons. They didn't give people, they risked it being irrelevant by the time they released more stuff. So, yeah. I mean, that was the problem with that one. It's like sometimes they saturate things. It's like they go one extreme or the other. They never seem to find the sweet spot when it comes to that. Right. But then they just dropped it. Like saying, well, this is complete now.
No, now it's a movie, right? Isn't there a movie coming out next year?
Yeah.
Which is could what they're work. Promoting with Smuggler's Run.
I will say this. Another series that did something similar, they intended to make a movie of Rick and Michonne and The Walking Dead whenever they exited The Walking Dead, which they actually exited before the series wrapped up. But they intended to make a movie with them, right? But what we ended up with is a 6-episode like mini series. So it's kind of like a movie, but divided up into 6 episodes. Slightly longer than the average movie, though, is what it ends up being, because they're an hour. Right. Each episode's like an hour.
Yeah.
45 minutes with commercials, but kind of ends up being like this super long movie, and it worked though. I mean, I think that the miniseries actually worked. It was interesting. It told a pretty good story of how to wrap up theirs to a decent place. So, I mean, they could do that, I guess, if they feel like they need to wrap up the story, you know, if they're going to make a movie.
Right.
As Mandalorian. But
which, I mean, I don't know where else the story's going to go from here, but it'll be.
Yeah.
Interesting to see where they take it. I'm sure they'll pull in other Star Wars references or timelines to give the fans some fan service. But I know I'm going down another rabbit trail, but since we were talking about series and stuff, this is still in the ABC Disney universe, so I guess it's relevant. But I just happened to watch a clip from Lost, the first season, today, and it made me remember. Yeah, it was the, you know, the end of episode 4 when Locke, you know, reveals that he was handicapped before the crash and then, you know, could walk afterwards, whatever.
So therefore, he's the first believer.
Yes.
Really.
I was like, man, that was a good show. When it, like, the first couple of seasons, for sure, were like, I loved that show. It, you know, didn't end great, but
yeah, I thought it was still a good show. Well, and then they're like in the last season, like, we're gonna answer all the questions. And then we're like, well then why do I still have so many questions?
Right. Yeah. Right.
If you aren't gonna answer all the questions.
They answered questions with another question, I guess. But
yeah. Because we're thinking the stuff that the fans really wanted to see, like, why does the sand or whatever what was the smoke stuff they monster? Put around there? Yeah, for the smoke monster. What was it, the stuff that they put down that kept it from, like, coming to them? They never explained what that was or why that was. You know?
I don't think I watched any of it since the last episode aired. I don't think I watched another. But I saw that clip today, and it reminded me of, like, man, that was a great show. And it was one of the last few network shows where, like, everybody, I don't know about everybody watched it, but a lot of people watched that show to, I mean, it got weird towards the end. I think only the hardcore fans watched it.
And they never actually gave the Man in Black a name.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Everybody was like, Kane. Kane, Esau, excuse me, Jacob and Esau, right?
Right. Man, Desmond was one of my favorite characters, too. It was a good player. Anyway, so it's a cool show.
Anyway, no matter what you do.
I know. You're gonna die, Charlie. Which, I had to kill him off, too, but.
Yeah, well, they had to kill everybody off just about.
Well, they were all dead the whole time, right? In that big
correct. Right, when it was all said and done. Spoiler. Yeah, if that's a spoiler alert for you, something's wrong.
Yeah. If you wanted to go back and watch a show that ended, 15 years ago?
Yeah.
I don't even remember when it was.
Anyway.
Moving on.
When I was talking about the Muppets, right, just to give a hit some more stories here, there's a phased closure of the courtyard is happening. Pretty much as we speak.
Sad.
It's a two-phase closure.
Yeah.
As part of turning it into Monsters, Inc.
Not ready for this.
It actually begins May 11th. The final day to dine at Mama Melrose's is the 10th. So that's coming up quickly.
Shame.
I've never eaten there. I've almost eaten there a few times, but I never have. You have.
Yeah. One thing I always liked when we went in there was there's some old pictures of George Lucas, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher. I hope they move those somewhere else where at least you can still see them. Because it was early 90s is what it looked like, probably. It might have been when Star Tours opened. I don't know. But.
Yeah. There's a lot of that from Hollywood studios that used to be it used to be very memorabilia heavy from old Hollywood. And now it's not even, it's hardly recognizable from what it used to be.
Right.
The entire park is.
Glimmers, like Echo Lake still has a lot of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the stunt show is still where it is and some of that stuff over there, right? So,
Backlot Express, if you...
There's a few things in there that are still there.
It seems before. Like those props are dwindling too, but Backlot Express, in general, if you look around, explore that restaurant, there's a lot of cool stuff in there.
And they used to have the... I don't know, what would you call it? Courtyard, I guess, over there where all the busts were.
Yeah, right. Well, there's a few that, I remember one in particular that was in there.
Yeah. That may have been why they took them all down. Who knows? Anyway, so to go along with that, the GO82 Adults Only Spaceship Earth Lounge opens June the 4th. So that's not too long away either. Right around the corner. Yeah,
just after I'm going to be there too. That stinks. It's not like we're taking the kids with us, so it's not like I can go this time anyway.
It's not like you're going to have an adult experience, right?
Yeah, not this time. So,
okay. So, in addition to that opening date, there's also announced that there will be a fireworks viewing experience in the adults only Spaceship Earth Lounge.
Nice. It's extra cost, right?
Yes.
Prefix menu or something.
Well, just to give you an idea, this is what the experience looks like. And then we'll get into
it. I saw the price.
You already saw the price already.
It's typical Disney, but.
Well, here's what this includes, though. It includes a tasting tower of savory light bites, sweet selections, champagne poured tableside, and event exclusive cocktails.
That you can pay extra for, probably.
Well, it says it includes.
Okay.
So it says it includes. That was the word used.
If you prefer, okay. So yeah. It's either or then, champagne or the cocktails?
I guess so. You can't be both, you don't think?
Yeah, you can, no. Not for that price.
Sit back and savor an exquisite pairing of flavorful fare and fantastic firework views. They claim that each seat is superb, so, I mean, I could see, based on where it is, they should all have decent seats from the looks of it.
Probably.
There's champagne that's specially selected, and selection of sweets during the Luminous Symphony of Us. So, this all, folks, for the low price of $179 per person, plus tax and gratuity.
Wow.
So you're basically going to wind up spending $200+ on this event.
Wow.
Oh, and not only that, it doesn't say for sure, but it says theme park reservations may be required based on admission type. So I'm assuming they're talking about...
if you're an annual pass.
Annual pass holder. Might have to get a reservation to get in the park, but I think that's becoming less and less
hard
needed.
Yeah, it's not hard to do these days, but...
Yeah. And it says advance reservations are required, so you do have to get that in advance. And the space is extremely limited.
You probably have to pay when you reserve, too.
Yeah, those things are probably sold out, going to be sold out pretty regularly just because just because there's not a whole lot of seats. I don't even know how many is in there, but from the looks of it, it's not going to be very many. It's going to be very exclusive.
Yeah.
And so it'll probably be booked solid for close to a year, if not longer.
So, probably because the vloggers and the people, influencers, and anybody who wants to post about it is going to do that first. But, I mean, this is the price of a Halloween or Christmas party, just, you know.
And modifications are not allowed once the reservation is confirmed. 24-hour cancellation policy, full price will be charged/forfeited if the guest cancels within one day or fails to show up.
Yeah. So I was trying to figure out how long this is, because that's what I was getting at, was this is a Christmas party ticket or Halloween party price. You can get in an hour ahead of time to watch a 20-minute fireworks show for $180, or you could do a 5-hour, you know, Halloween party for the same price.
And this is actually going to be closer to $200 if its taxes and gratuities not included.
Right. Yeah, you have to pay gratuity on a Halloween party ticket at least. So,
well, let's just say you're going to go with the traditional. Most gratuities are around 15 or more, really, maybe even 18. So it's $200 easy, especially after you're including in tax.
Oh yeah.
So yeah.
You know, of course, fireworks aren't guaranteed because it could be weather and stuff.
Hey, I wonder what they're going to do about that. It didn't say weather policy, or if it did, I overlooked it.
It just says fireworks are not guaranteed. On rare occasions, fireworks may be rescheduled or canceled. Please refer to the entertainment schedule to confirm 2 weeks prior to your reservation.
But what I mean is, if the night of it does rain it out, do you get refunded?
No, I doubt it.
Well, that's reason enough there not to even risk it.
Yeah. It already tells you fireworks are not guaranteed, so... You paid for the drinks and the light bites before the fireworks begin.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean,
so you still get all the other stuff, so I guess that's why that's justified.
Yeah. It's cheaper, though, than, what was it, Tiana's New Year's Bash that was like $800 a person or something?
Ridiculous.
Was it California Grill, right?
Yeah.
I think it was.
Which is also a shell of its former self.
Well, the prefix menu definitely hurt.
I stand by what I said.
I mean, the food's still great, but I hate that it's...
I wouldn't know. I'm not beefy. Going to go there and pay that for that. So I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know.
I would. Tastes like strawberries. So I... would like to go there, but I don't think I want to do this dessert party. Essentially, it's a dessert party, but...
But it's a booze. It's a booze party.
Well, that's an add-on, right? The dessert party for that's Halloween parties. But sometimes Magic Kingdom has fireworks dessert parties. I don't think they were $180.
I was gonna say this is Epcot's like adult only upgrade to that.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Experience.
That's probably why it's cheaper, because you have to pay for kids too at Magic Kingdom. So
possibly.
Maybe that's why.
So they are in the process of reimagining the Grand Floridian lobby. Did you know this? Did you hear about this?
Yeah, we talked about the bar they're putting in the lobby. The lobby bar.
Apparently the birdcage is now removed. That's been there. It's been a staple of there for a long time. How do you feel about that? It's like they're starting to do the Grand what they did to the Poly.
Right. Didn't they used to have snow owls in there?
They have had in the past. Yeah.
Just like snow owls, though?
I don't know. Have they? I might be wrong. They've had something in there, didn't they? Am I wrong? Maybe it's not.
I said a hooter she got there.
That's what it made it look like. No, I thought they did put some kind of birds in the cage at once upon a time.
They probably did.
Maybe I'm just getting it confused with when they did it at the Poly, but they weren't in a cage. Yeah. They had the parrots up there.
I guess some birds just aren't meant to be caged. Their feathers are just too bright.
Any more lines you want to use?
Different movies, very different movies, but both. Actually, was Shawshank and Dumb and Dumber the same year? 94? Is that right? Am I wrong?
So I think Shawshank might have been a tad bit before. I think it's like 93.
Let's see.
That's what I'm going to go by.
Anyway.
Oh, what? 94.
It was? They were both 94. But, oh, well.
Let's see. October of 94 was Shawshank.
So is the Contemporary like the only one that's going to stay trapped in like the 70s or whatever it's worth or lobby goes? I mean.
Well, I hope they never change the Grand Canyon Concourse, because that's Mary Blair's like masterpiece.
Yeah. Now, there are some things they've obviously updated. It's not trapped in the 70s by any means. That those ball lights there in the Grand Canyon Concourse once upon a time. Those globe, round lights, you know what I'm talking about? Anyway.
Yes.
What made them think that the Grand needed an overhaul?
To sell more alcohol? That's really it.
Well, that's quite possibly it. Yeah.
Even though if you go up one floor, they have another place where you can buy a bunch of alcohol that's overpriced at the Enchanted Rose, which is a good lounge, but.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be the ground floor pricey drinking option.
There you go. There you go. Let's see. There's going to be a 2-month refurbishment of the Winter Summerland mini course. Played the original. Have you played it?
Yeah, I played that one. It needed it because that last hole, it still had like a CRT TV monitor, and Santa told you something on it. It was like really old school. Like, I was like, yeah, this needs an update.
So now the refurbishment is going to involve AI Santa. Probably. In that same place.
Maybe you can talk to him, yeah.
Yeah. Very possible.
While he's on vacation.
Yeah. It feels like they just got done with these, but maybe it's been longer than we think. There's going to be a year-long refurbishment underway at Pop Century.
Yeah.
Room refurbishments.
Right. I wonder, are they going to make any major changes, or is this kind of like a refresh? Because it wasn't that long ago, was it, when this was?
It doesn't seem like it was that long ago when they made those changes to make the... They were one of the first ones to get those hard floors. And
the fold-down beds and everything, which is was a huge upgrade, by the way.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I see that they're starting at the 50s section, and currently that's where they are. And, you know, I'm booked for Pop Century. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to definitely get stuck in the 90s.
It's a good decade to be stuck in, except if you're a Pop Century.
I know. Well, there's literally one 90s building, and it's like the only building that's like nowhere near anything.
Well, given that at the time they built Pop, the 90s was technically still going on, maybe that's why they only had one building devoted to the 90s.
Yeah, I guess.
It was the 90s.
Yeah. Oh, well.
By the way, this is considered a soft goods refurbishment. Years ago, a soft goods refurbishment may have meant that pillows and duvets were changed along with some light work. Now the definition of soft goods apparently has expanded to include furniture replacement, light fixtures, and even floor replacements, which I don't know why they would need to replace the floors. It hasn't been that long, has it? I mean, or is it just the hard floors? Are they an issue like they need to replace more often?
Yeah.
Because they just, they, yeah, the rooms were, well, they were completed longer ago than I think. They were completed in 2018. So it's
okay, but less than
seven,
10 years,
seven years this year. So anyway, I find it hard to believe they would do very much outside work. I mean, the, you're not going to change the theme of the resort, right? I mean, it's kind of be hard to do.
I stayed in the 50s back in January and I thought the room was fine. Like I didn't have any issue with it, but maybe they're just, you know, going to update the design a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine, I guess.
So I'm going to do something, Adam, that you hate.
I'm going
to go across the way.
No.
And speak this about Universal's Epic Universe, because they're having a general public preview coming up, actually. It's already going on right now, actually. Yeah, tickets are available.
Open.
It started April the 29th, and it's going through May the 19th.
Yeah.
The park's going to be closed to previews on May 20th through 21st, as they've invited media to tour the park before the May 22nd grand opening, which is weird because they've already done some media. They did, like, vloggers and stuff already.
Mm-hmm.
They've even been able to stay at the Helios. But the price range for a preview ticket there, what do you think that would be?
Is it going to be the same price as a dessert party at Epcot? Lounge?
No, no, actually, it's going to be less than a dessert party to get an Epic Universe.
Less than one preview.
Yes, the highest. They're tiered depending on the day, right? Obviously, the days of the week are going to be less than the weekend. So there's going to be two Saturdays involved in this preview period, both of which have $154 price ticket on. And the lowest out of those is $144.
Okay.
So it doesn't really vary much between a weekday and a weekend. But just thinking out loud here, Disney has never done this. They've never done like a general public offering for a preview, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Would you pay that kind of money just to be able to say, I went there with a limited capacity, with a, you know, with a limited number of people, right, to experience it first?
Yeah.
Because they are keeping this exclusive. They're not selling that many tickets. They're trying to keep it low crowd each day that they do this.
If I ever wanted to go to Epic Universe, I would pay that. Yeah, for sure.
Whoa, 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 whoa. You're telling me if you ever wanted to go, you're telling me you do not want to go to Epic Universe.
Mm-mm.
I'm raising my BS flag on that one.
I know. I really don't want to go. But I'm sure my kids will make me go.
No, please. You're going to go and then you're going to love it.
Probably not.
I love it.
Yeah. I mean, I look at that price of $154 and say, hey, just for like $25 extra, I could spend an hour and a half at a dessert fireworks party at Epcot.
Right.
It'd be totally worth it. A whole day versus 90 minutes of amazing fun. You can't beat that.
Right. I mean, I got to be honest. I've looked at this and I've considered maybe if I could get someone to go with me, we could get away and do this. Just do it. Just come on, Adam. You know you want to go do this, just the two of us. We want to go tour Epic Universe for the low price of $154.
I would make for an entertaining video of me being not impressed by anything.
Well, you're probably going to be a little easier to impress than Mitch, but
I mean, maybe
not much yeah. much more.
Have I mentioned how much I hate Comcast?
But you will not see they don't have anything to do with the products. I mean, the products, the IP
own
that you'll see.
They still own the park. And it's,
you know,
if Disney owned a crappy internet service, I'd probably hate Disney too. But if I was one of their customers, But
well, Disney does have kind of a crappy technology department.
Well, so, their website and app, yeah, sure.
When it comes to their those type things, apps and websites, at least anyway, they need to work on that one. And you would think with a partnership, somewhat, at least some sort of sponsorship with Apple, they would have learned a thing or two. But you know,
they really should have leaned more into that. I guess maybe Steve Jobs,
or maybe that's the problem. Maybe they did. I'm an Android user, so.
Oh, I see. So yeah, you really are.
So anyway, I got to make a comment on this. There was a story that came out regarding the Moffitt Nathanson conference.
Oh, Lord. Yes. I was like, what? This, everyone is trying to clickbait this story.
Yes. Well, so a lot of the headlines read similar to saying like that Josh DeMauro takes over for Bob Iger.
Right.
And it's one of those things that's like a half truth, which is the most effective lies. And yes, I said lies.
Right.
As soon as I saw this headline, I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's just saying he took over for him at the conference only, not
of course
over for him. And of course, that's exactly what it was. He stood in for Bob Iger in participating in this conference. Mm. Dead Josh DeMauro.
Yeah.
He's not taking over as the CEO, folks. Well, quite frankly, I don't think he's going to be the next. I don't think he's going to be that. He might be considered, but I don't think he's going to be in the running, truthfully. But
who knows? I mean, Iger's rise to CEO was kind of unthought of at the time, I think. Everybody was kind of like, who's this guy?
Well, he wasn't a who's this guy to the people that were closest to it. That's the thing.
Sure. But even in his book, he talked about kind of the unlikeliness of it happening, but it happened. So,
did he think it was unlikely because he came from television like Michael Eisner?
Or, well, I think I don't remember all the details now. I just remember him saying like he made a pitch for it and he just didn't think it would really ever happen, but it ended up happening. So
there you go.
Yeah.
There it is.
Worked out for him.
So switching back to Epic Universe for a moment, because I came across this.
Okay. All right.
One of the most immersive themings of any theme park attraction has got to be, have you looked at any of this about Harry Potter and the Battle at the Ministry ride?
Have you seen some video of the actual ride? I mean, I saw that it's Tower of Terror meets like Rise of the Resistance.
But have you seen the opening, like where you get in there, when you get in line, how they actually send you through the flu?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
sure.
You've seen that, the movie that has that in it, correct? Like the Ministry of Defense. You have not? Have you watched the movies at all?
None. I haven't watched a single frame of one of those movies.
Well, if you had, you would realize just how impressive this actually is. And how as far as how it looks on the film. Extremely impressive.
Yeah.
So
if it's not a Disney movie, I don't watch it. So
no, that I know better.
Snow White was one of the best movies ever made. No, I'm just kidding.
How many times did you go watch it to help bring its total up to like, I don't know, five
or $5? Oh
no, five views.
I watched it five times.
I don't even know what it's made yet, but I think it's probably sickeningly low for Disney.
Yeah, I think they've lost $230 million on it. I saw.
But anyway. Look, here's the thing. I don't know why they went through with it, because as soon as I heard the concept and the announcement, I'm like, this is not going to go over well. This is going to be a rotten balloon. So, I mean, it's just, you could just tell.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't good. But have you watched it?
Oh, I was about to say, you've watched it?
I watched it five times in theaters. So. No, I didn't.
There is, we were just talking, there's one, I think it's being released at a good time. I think it will do well, and that is the live action Stitch. I feel like that they've, even though that's one of those remake deals, right?
Right.
I think it's one that's attractive to kids. I think it's one that's attractive to families in general. I think it's one that when you're releasing it when they do, right there at Memorial Day,
yeah,
is going to do well. I think that they had a good strategy when it comes to this particular one. So,
yeah. People love Stitch, and Stitch has lasted. I mean, his popularity's kind of grown still.
Well, he was super popular when the movie first released. It's too bad that they couldn't come up with anything better than Stitch's Great Escape. I mean, because that was awful.
Right.
It's pretty bad whenever you go in there thinking, oh, this is a new attraction, and then you experience it, and then you're like, what just happened here? And you walk out of here with these feelings like you're trying to like it, and then when it's over with, you're like, yeah, just, I can't.
Like, that's how I would feel about Epic Universe. So
you're projecting how you might feel, how you will, you know.
No, I guarantee you that's how I'll talk about it.
That's how you, that's exactly what you're going to, that's what you're going to say outwardly.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're going to treat it like a guilty pleasure. You're going to enjoy it while you're there, and then you're going to dog it you're treating it like it was a boy band or something, like it was the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
Like when you're at home, you're jamming out to them, and then in public, you're like, man, these guys suck.
Yeah. It's like listening to the Beatles without earmuffs.
Ah.
Remember that line?
No, I don't remember that line. Where'd that come from?
That's from Goldfinger.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Bond says that.
Yeah. You know what? Since I brought up the whole thing with the band thing, whatever happened for that time period? Like, why did people just start like ripping on Nickelback? You know what I'm talking about?
I guess they were an easy target.
It came out of nowhere, though. It's like everybody just started ripping on them. Like, But it's almost like that's another example. Like, people started ripping on them, but then they'd be like, every time their songs would come on, they'd be like, he's singing to it secretly. Like, you even see videos about it now. It's like, man, this guy suck. And they're like,
yeah, I don't know.
I was like, how did that
people
happen?
People jam to it. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Look at this photograph of a photograph I took of a photograph or something like that. Anyway. Well, I did want to mention the one about Big Thunder, the track replacement, because it looks like the entire track. Have you seen those pictures? Yeah. It's going to be a smooth coaster when it reopens.
I wonder, is it still going to induce kidney stones?
Maybe not anymore.
If you have them.
You mean, that's what I'm wondering. You mean help you pass them? Isn't that
right. Yeah. Well, that's kind of like, help you pass them. I would kind of like, when I say induce, I guess that was probably not right. Because I'm thinking of like, you know, when you induce labor, you're starting the process to exit the baby.
Yeah.
I say exit the baby.
Certainly
that sounds terrible.
Slide around a lot.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like if you have, like, truthfully, people without even pain could have stones just in there at any given time. Unless they move, you really probably won't even know they're there. So
maybe
it's always possible. And Big Thunder could help you work those things out. Used to cut anyway, supposedly.
All right, we'll see if this will do it still, but it's going to be a whole lot smoother. You can see the track is brand new. Looks pretty neat.
Was it really all that rough to begin with?
I mean, it wasn't like super.
It wasn't like Space Mountain.
Yeah, it's crazy. I wish they would replace the track in Space Mountain. Because it is not super smooth.
That's one you could do. It's like, which would you rather ride? Space Mountain or Matterhorn in the back of a car?
Oh, wow. Well, the Disney World Space Mountain, I would take that for sure over Matterhorn.
Yeah, should have done that. Disney World Space Mountain versus Matterhorn.
Yeah.
Both of them have a tendency to, chiropractors love these rides.
I guess so.
Yeah.
It's not easy to fit into the cars at Space Mountain, that's for sure, but.
Or the Matterhorn for that matter.
Yeah, that too, but I hope they redo Space Mountain next if they're going to replace the track.
And why is it as far as spinners go that Astro Orbiter is like the tightest fit of all of them, right? Like, as far as fitting into there. Why is this?
I hope they're going to change this.
Yeah. Well, is that one? I don't know. I've never ridden the one at California. I've only seen it. Is it the same way for both? I think they're the exact same type vehicle.
Yeah, I feel like I rode that one. Or maybe it was Paris. I was going to say,
riding the one in California seems pointless because it's like Dumbo with a jet, just like on the ground. There's nothing special. It's not way up in the air.
The location stinks there.
It's just another spinner. I don't know why they did that.
I don't know. They had to... Was it a stability issue with the track? Like the...
I don't know. Did they move it back when they created Rocket Rides, now that I think about it?
Yeah, it was part of that like new Tomorrowland thing, wasn't it?
Maybe.
Where they moved stuff around. But
even though it ruined People Mover, I would like to have experienced Rocket Rods, just to say, but it turns out it was not that good. So, I mean, I would rather have People Mover back.
Speaking of Astro Orbiter, it's got the new paint job they showed recently. So that refurb, when did they say that's going to reopen? I forgot.
I don't remember seeing a date. I don't think they've actually not locked it down just yet.
Yeah. And then Tomorrowland is going to be kind of empty because Buzz is going to close in August for its refurb. And I don't think this will be reopened by then. It doesn't look like it anyway. So Monsters, Inc. and Space Mountain and Tron, I guess, are the only things. Carousel of Progress.
Mm-hmm.
So there's stuff to do, but it's... not as much over there. Also, the Emporium changes are looking better because it's more open.
Mm-hmm.
More modern, but more open. So it's not going to be, you know, you can't get out of there when it's busy. Kind of, there's more space to move around. So
back when I was navigating the parks solo at times, I don't do that anymore. It was a lot easier to use that shop as a means of
getting
from point A to point B. But now if you bring someone through, they don't have a tendency to keep cutting. They have a tendency to stop.
Right.
And look.
God forbid if you have a stroller, because good Lord.
Yes. But I used to use that all the time. It's like the air-conditioned walkway is what it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Same way in Animal Kingdom, as soon as you get in, you could take the cut to the Outfitters, and then when you go out the other side, if you wanted to, it's tough to be a bug. It was right there.
Right.
The entrance to it. Or you could just take that walkway to cut just a little bit of distance off to get towards anything on the right side. So
Either store, you can kind of cut through,
Yeah, the other store, you can do it to a degree. I guess you could now because I think back when I used to do this, there was no Pandora, so there was no reason to cut through to Camp Meanie Mickey. So
wait, you didn't want to do that?
No, I didn't want to cut through to there, no. I don't even think I visited that part of the park. I'm kind of sad. I wish I had now when I seen some of the little landmarks they had, but, you know.
Yeah. Some of the things are neat little things.
I wish I would have seen it at least once, but like I just never went there because...
No reason to, yeah.
Yeah, no reason to, really, because I didn't have kids at the time.
Right, yeah.
See, in Animal Kingdom, speaking of which, I was actually just thinking this. It's been a while since I've had something to attract guests there. I know they're working on it, but something new, anyway.
It'll be a while. Probably late next year before they have anything significant.
I'm curious as to how their attendance is going to be affected this coming year. Because you have a combination of things, right? You have Epic Universe, which could affect all of Disney, not just Animal Kingdom. Mm-hmm. But you got to know if it's going to affect Disney, it means it's going to make Animal Kingdom even more slack attendance-wise.
Right. The dinosaur closing eventually. Yeah.
One day it will close. But yeah, they just haven't had a lot of... I mean, think about it, because now Pandora's been... almost 8 years itself, hasn't it? Wasn't it 17, I think?
Yeah, I think so.
So it's his eighth year. It's in its eighth year of existence. I'm sure there's a lot of people that still haven't fully experienced it, though. But it's in its eighth year of existence, and...
I mean, everyone's done Flight of Passage by now, so... And they haven't... They talked about updating the film, but not yet, so... That would probably require it to go down for at least a little while to resync everything.
Right, they've already got tons of projects. I don't think it's necessary to touch Flight of Passage, but, you know, That's just me. I think it's still a good attraction on its own. It's
sure.
It stirs emotions. It still does to me.
Yeah.
Doing it.
Oh, I agree 100%. I still love it. But it's going to have to be the anchor for the next several years until something new comes up.
Well, I mean, there's Navi.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
I like Navi. Best. Navi's very relaxing. It's very immersive, though. Come on.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I think sometimes we just don't appreciate the detail that goes into some of those things anymore. I think we're spoiled.
I think by the time you get relaxed enough to look around and everything, it's over. So
you say so.
My son said they got B mode Shaman too.
Oh, really?
Back in spring break a few weeks ago.
That's something I've never had. B mode Shaman.
Because it was a projection, which I guess wouldn't necessarily be B mode. It would just be covered up. I don't know.
It was called B mode. Okay. I mean, because it's B mode for Kylo whenever it's the starship and not him, right? It's a screen. That's right.
Well, there you go then.
Yeah. Is there anything else there that has B mode? Is that the only B mode they have in Rise? Well, no, I'm talking about the only B mode they have in Rise. Well, it's the only thing that has a potential B mode.
The cannon's not moving.
They don't have a B mode.
B mode is they just stay still. And you still back up like it was moving?
If not functioning at all as a B mode, then yes, that would be a B mode.
I've seen B mode of like all the special effects and or they just don't work. But anyway.
Oh yeah, if you remember the last time I rode this past time in January when we rode Runaway, we got B mode Mickey and Minnie in the carnival scene. You know if the balloon doesn't work, that there's just a like they show up on as a smaller version of themselves on that screen in the background.
Yeah, yeah.
We got that one this last time. That's the only time I've ever had that one.
I feel like I got a B mode on there somewhere, or maybe an alternate, or maybe we just got a delay during the Daisy.
That's the only thing I know of that has a B mode in that attraction that I can think of.
Yeah, maybe.
Because the other ones, if they malfunction, they just malfunction.
Yeah.
Like they just stop. I've had plenty of times I've seen a malfunction with Olaf and it's Frozen. I've had the ones where he's just staring awkwardly at Sven. Yeah.
And he still blinks. Yeah.
Yeah. Where he's just not moving at all when he comes in.
Right.
Yeah. He's
scary.
He's down a lot, actually. It's kind of weird.
Olaf, right?
Yeah. Some of the moves on some of those are so subtle that you don't realize when something's not functioning. Mm-hmm. But
there was something else I was going to mention too. My kids and I will play guess the wait time game while we're doing something. And late April, as we've said, is a great time to go. The wait times have been pretty low this past week because we've played this like almost every evening. And Rise has been like 40 minutes, depending on the day, like Tron or Guardians are an hour, maybe a little less, and Slinky's been under an hour. So it's been interesting to see. I think today Tron was at 90 minutes when we looked, but it's been as low as, 50 minutes or 45 too at times when we looked. So I don't know.
What about Lightning Lane availability?
Well, we've looked at some of the, like, there's drop times for Tiana's, and, it's easy to see those pop up. Mm-hmm. It drops all the time. Like, I don't know why there's so many, but it's literally, like, every hour. So, yeah, that's all we really looked at, but seems like there's decent availability. I even looked at pricing for the end of the month. Pricing wasn't terrible from what I've seen so far, so.
Yeah.
We'll see. Maybe, during the Epic Universe time, Lightning Lane's not too bad.
I feel like this has the potential to go either way, to be honest, for Disney. Here's my reasoning here. The average Disney fan, whenever they believe that, if they have an event or a time of year or something that they've heard traditionally, or they have something that comes up that makes them think that it will be a slow period, they start booking it and it's no longer a slow period. That has the potential to be the case when Epic Universe opens. Like, some people might anticipate, hey, Epic Universe is open, that's going to draw a lot of people away. Disney might be empty. And yeah, some of those folks, if there's enough of them, there may not be, if there's enough of them, that could actually cause Disney to still be fairly busy.
Possibly.
Who knows? You never know. This is going to be interesting. This could set a precedent, though, depending on how this works. Right. I'm going to be interested to see how the crowds, what happens. I'm going to be interested to see how Universe handles these, because they have had a few incidents in the past that didn't work out so well, like when they opened Hagrid's, for instance, how big the wait times got there.
That was a disaster.
Yeah. And then Disney follows it up with Virtual Queue, right? So was it for Rise at that time? I think that was the next thing.
Probably.
Yeah. But I know Hagrid's opened in the summer, but not Rise didn't open until the fall. Yeah. But I might be getting it mixed up with another one of their releases. But either way, the Virtual Queue obviously worked out better. You know, you didn't have wait time headlines versus what Hagrid's received. So,
right. It'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. We'll report on it when it happens in a few weeks.
It's not long. It's getting close.
And I'll be at Disney during the opening week of...
Oh, you'll be there to see live. You'll be able to report live on...
on how hopefully empty Disney is, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Actually, no, but...
Well, was it hard to get a room? Did you get whatever you wanted, or did you just happen to pick Pop?
No, there was some good options. I wouldn't say the prices were spectacular, but they were good. They just weren't...
Think there's a possibility, like, the closer we get to the date, that there might actually be some better prices? Not likely.
Unless availability opens up more. Because it seemed like...
I think if they were going to discount it, they would have already done it.
There's a 40... It says 40% or up to 40%
pass holder
discount. But it's... it depends on... When you're looking,
so what was available for that discount? That's what I'm getting at.
Coronado had good prices, Caribbean Beach, Port Orleans.
And you decided Pop, to go with
all Pop. All Stars. I went with Pop because of the Skyliner.
And Pop, so it was 40% off of Memorial Day weekend prices, I'm assuming.
Yes, which still weren't terrible.
What did it end up being per night? Do you remember?
186, I think it was. Standard room.
That is a price that not that long ago would have been Caribbean Beach.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Caribbean Without Beach was two like 275 or something like that. Caribbean
so
Beach.
So good for now.
For now, yeah.
I actually still like Caribbean Beach. Some people give it a bad rap, in my opinion, but
I like that they have Fist Sleepers, but
yeah,
the Fist Sleeper room.
I've always liked the tropical themed ones, the uniquely themed ones.
Yeah. But hey, I'm on the Skyliner still. I'm only one stop away from Caribbean Beach if I wanted to go to Banana Cabana.
Yeah.
Or
Sebastian's.
Sebastian's or to Riviera and go to Primo Piatta or Bar Riva. Other good spots too. So,
okay.
Did you see this? I know guests behaving badly again. This happened last week. Someone tried to climb the Tree of Life. See that story?
Oh god.
There's like videos of this person like up there climbing it. Moron.
How old was this person? I wonder. What do they look like?
It's kind of hard to see. The picture is not very clear. It's like a social media photo.
The only reason why I ask is because I've just seen more and more reasons to be thankful that I am basically Gen Z on the cusp of millennial.
Right. It's hard to tell. It looks like a younger person, but it's really hard to see from there. But
I think traditionally, don't they think Gen Z ran through like 1980? So I'm like, I'm just barely Gen Z.
Yeah. I think millennials starts in the early, like 82, 83, 81, maybe even, I don't know. Depends on
which model you're
right,
looking
you're looking
at.
Yeah.
But the next one starts in the year 2000, right? Or somewhere around that. In the year 2000.
I thought millennial. Or,
maybe there's another one in between.
Gen Z.
Why? Or, what is it? Gen Z, excuse me.
I guess.
Or maybe there's a generation in between there that I forgot their name or somewhere. Yeah. I thought it was usually 20 years, though, was considered a generation. So, 80 to 20, 2000, that would be they were all millennials. And now we have Y or whatever. Right?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Which one was Y? Why is the one they ended up calling millennials, I think, wasn't it?
Probably.
Maybe they changed it. I think that's where I got the Y from.
Yeah. Gen Alpha is the current, like.
Like they're being born now?
Our kids are Gen Alpha. It's like 2010s to 2020s. Yeah.
I can't be right.
They are. That's what they call them, Gen Alpha.
Alpha
start
what?
Over. Alpha.
Alpha. Yeah, but they're Alpha what's?
I don't know. It's the new generation of being born into social media world and whatever.
Like I'm so totally right there on the edge of being that meme of from The Simpsons where it says like man yells at cloud or whatever. I'm well on my way towards that.
I see. Good place to be though. You don't care anymore.
You keep on saying something, usually in our chats or whatever. It's like, that's the way it, that was it, that Dana Carvey character?
That's the way, the old grumpy old man on, SNL.
It's the way it was, and we liked it, or something like that.
Basically, yeah.
That's the way it was, and we liked it.
Yeah. That was his tagline.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. All right.
What's your bad?
I think we've probably done enough damage, right? Don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
For this sure. week. I don't know. I'm gonna say that this was kind of like a filler episode, folks. Hopefully next week we'll be better prepared and be in a better place to have some good material.
Catch up on the lackluster.
Yeah, we had a couple of things. Yeah. So we got a little silly in between it. And
sure.
But as you know, anybody who's listening to the show on a regular basis, you know that we have a tendency to go down rabbit trails.
It's part of the fun.
Part of the fun. Let's hope. All right. You can always find us on Facebook, X, and Instagram. That is all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store, which you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. We have a YouTube channel where you can find the episodes and other videos that we have posted on it. And I know I mentioned the Spreadshirt store, but Adam, you have another shop that we're getting into.
Yes, on our website, travelingwiththemouse.com. You can email us podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com as well. But on our website, there's links to all those things and more, including our TeePublic store, which has Team Monorail and Team Skyliner merch. So I just got my Team Monorail shirt, which I'm going to wear on the Skyliner and be a contradictory walking contradiction. But that's all there on our website.
All right. So for Adam, my name is John. This has been Traveling with a Mouse. We hope you'll join us on our next trip. To be the yin to your yang, I'm going to have to go get a Skyliner shirt.
Yeah.
And maybe we can wear it together at some point.
Yeah. You can ride the monorail with yours, and I'll ride Skyliner with mine.
Right. Better yet, let's just wear them together and go to the Epic Universe preview. Anyway.
You lost me.